following message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Thank you for worshiping with us today. So good to see each one of you today. If you are new to our church, and this is, if you've been here this sometime and came during the year of 2015, we always begin our year with this emphasis called the week of prayer and the word. We took a break from the Gospel of Mark through the month of December as we focus our attention upon Jesus and his birth and looked at what the angels declared Jesus to be called. And we begin this year again with this emphasis called the week of prayer and the word. I believe that most believers can grow in their life of prayer. I think most of us may be consistent sometimes and sporadic at others. Sometimes have great intentionality, great focus, a great plan, and sometimes we just kind of lose the steam, and sometimes we get discouraged, and we don't pray like we need to. And so why in the world would we take a week to focus on the week of prayer and the Word? Listen, this is not just for you to hear a sermon this morning. This is a week to challenge you to evaluate your life and your walk with God, and it comes to the element and the spiritual discipline of prayer. There's a lot of opportunity that's going to be available to you this week that we can gather together as a church to pray together, to seek the face of God for our lives, for our walk with Christ, for His will for our church. And so I want to encourage you, and at the end of our service, we're going to give you a prayer guide, a week of devotions that can guide your attention and your thought processes in regards to God's Word and prayer. And in there are places that are listed where we can get together this week in regards to praying together with your church. I'll give you more details about that at the end of our service. But as we begin this week of prayer, today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. I want to share with you five actions for prayer that all of us can be encouraged by, whether you have a great prayer plan, whether you are consistent in your prayer life, or whether you feel like that you need to grow in it. This text that Jesus is going to give us is going to give us five things specifically that I've pulled out of this text that I want us to be encouraged with of what we can do. Prayer and the Word, I believe, are some of the two most foundational elements for a successful and an effective walk with Christ, as well as an effective church. If you don't have a good prayer life and you're not in the Word, you're not going to have an effective walk with Christ, period. These are two things. God has given us the Word so that we can read it and that we can hear from Him. And God has given us prayer so that we can talk to Him. Two of the foundational things. You can't just listen to your intellect and just listen to your rationale and listen to your emotions. You've got to be in tune with the Word of God so that your prayer life is actually richer. You can have a consistent prayer life, but if you're not growing in the Word, your prayer life can only go so far. They're closely connected together. And if your Word time is only Sunday morning at 10:30 or at 9 o'clock for Bible study, I want to challenge you even next week to consider how the Word needs to be in your life more so. Most people would say that they actually have a prayer life. And when I inquire about that, they will say, well, I pray over my meal and I say my prayers when I go to bed. And usually it becomes very generic. God, thank you for my day. Thank you for giving me a good time. Help me to sleep as I go to bed. If that consists of your prayer life, there is so much more for you. There is a way by which that you and I can tap into the communion with God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not ritualistic. Prayer is not a particular pattern that we're supposed to follow. It is a way by which you and I get to commune with God. And I can tell you in my own personal life, when I spend consistent, slowed down, uninterrupted, unhurried time with the Lord, my walk with God is just rich. And I want to encourage you. And some of you say, I don't have time to pray. If that is your statement, You don't have time not to pray. I remember what Martin Luther used to say. He said, if I'm too busy to pray, I'm too busy. Let that sink in for a moment. How about if you just made this statement? I'm too busy to breathe. I'll be preaching your funeral in a few minutes. Our prayer life needs to be seen in the same way. It is spiritual breathing. It is the way by which we commune with God. And listen, there's so much that could be said about prayer. Every year when I think about one sermon on prayer, I can consider all the different things of what I could talk about on prayer. Because prayer is not just talking either. Sometimes prayer is listening and being still. We're going to talk about some of that today as well. So I just want to ask you a gut check question. I don't want you to say anything. So let me say it again. I don't want you to say anything. How would you rate your prayer life with God right now? I want you to think about that as we go through this text this morning. Think about it as an individual. Then I want you to think about it as a parent. I want you to think about it as a grandparent, as a leader of your family. Do people see you praying? Do they hear you praying? Do you stop and take things seriously when someone says, I want you to pray for this? You say, yeah, I'm going to pray for that. And it's just a passing regard. You don't really do that. That's sin, according to Scripture. I want us as a church, and by God's grace, we have grown in prayer, but I want us to just grow to understand the riches and the depth that you can have in your life with God in prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11 is one of those great texts that where Jesus teaches us about prayer and some things I just want to share with you. I want to share with you what the text says. I want to share with you, honestly, from my life and the benefits to some of the things that I have grown in my own walk with the Lord. So as we read this text, so we're going to show you five particular actions that we can take. Let's read the text together and put it in a context. This is in the context where Jesus is teaching his disciples, as we call the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is beginning his ministry. He sets them down and takes them up to the mountainside. And so he's pulling them away from the larger crowd, and he wants to teach them some of the very important things as he begins his ministry. And one of those things here is he's talking about prayer, specifically what they're supposed to be doing. Now, if your mindset this morning is, God doesn't care about what I pray, that's not true. If you say God is not going to answer what I'm going to pray about, you don't know that either. Your attitude needs to be, what does the text say that I'm supposed to do as it comes to prayer? Period. And let's read the text. Jesus says in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? First of all, I just want to kind of put an explanation here. Who is this text for? This is not just for every person that this passage of Scripture. He is specifically speaking to believers, those who have a relationship with Christ. So you can't say, if you're here this morning, I want you to understand something. This is a blessing and a privilege and a promise that he's given to those who have repented and placed faith in Christ. If you're here this morning and say, well, I've prayed and God's answered my prayers, God has just brought about certain things in your life just because he's God. Now, he tells us here that he's speaking to disciples. And so if you're not a believer this morning, I want you to hear this from a listening standpoint of view. There are blessings that come when we know God. There's promises that we come when we know God. There's promises that are given to us when we're in a relationship with him. Now, believer, now you listen to me. These are promises made for you and for me. Often, we don't walk in the truths and the promises that God has given us. And I want you to take these truths this morning, whether you were a teenager or whether you're an adult or whether you're a senior adult, and live in these realities of these truths that Jesus is teaching us on prayer. The first action, the first truth, or the first encouragement I want you to see this morning is that we are to pray with intentionality. Pray with intentionality. You say, what do you mean by that? It means this, that you and I must be intentional to pray. Think about this text. Who's the one speaking here? Jesus is the one speaking here, and he's telling you and me that we must pray. We must ask, we must seek, and we must knock. You say, well, God doesn't care. Sure he does. Who's telling you to pray? Jesus is telling you to pray. Now, what I mean by this is that you and I must be intentional to set some time aside to pray. Now, certainly, I know what it's like. I mean, Jesus tells us, the Word tells us, even Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians that we should pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you simply go into a cave and you pray without stopping. It means that our lives should be consumed with praying. That as I'm going about my day, if you're a housemaker, you're there taking care of things at the home, whether you're at work or whether you're driving a school bus or whether you're an engineer, whatever it may be, it simply means that my life is consumed with, I'm constantly communicating with God. You know, we've talked about, you know, there's research that says that men and women have so many words that they use throughout the day. Yes, right? You know what I'm talking about, you know? Some of you can just keep on talking and someone has to tell you, be quiet until you go to sleep, all right? You know, even though I'm not in a conversation with someone all day long, I'm talking with God all day long. I mean, just what I'm doing, what I'm working on, I'm constantly just talking to Him. If you ever see me walking down the hall mumbling, I don't have a problem. I'm just talking, you know, talking to the Lord. I don't realize that I'm just talking. It's just breathing for me, just breathing and talking. But even though that's good, it's necessary, and I believe it's important for us to set aside some time that's uninterrupted and unhindered time to pray. Now, you say, how do you do that? I have to get up early to do that. I have 4 little kids. Well, they're not too little anymore. They're growing up. But there's always something for us. You say, well, I got this and I got that. Do I sleep through my alarm sometimes? Sure I do. Do I beat myself up? No. Rest in the grace of God. But I think there's importance for us to be able to sit some time aside to be able to pray. I mean, think of this text. Look at it again. What's the 3 commands that Jesus has given us? Ask, seek, and knock. I mean, can you imagine? Let's just use those illustrations. If I'm going to be talking with my wife, okay, if I'm going to ask her a question, and if I ask her a question and I'm running by her, I have a problem because I'm not stopping to hear what she's going to say. If I'm walking down the hall and I'm knocking on a door and I continue to go down the hallway, I'm not stopping to be able to knock and to listen. If I'm going to seek out something, I have to stop to do so. Anybody ever lost anything out of your vehicle going down the road before that was so important that you had to stop and turn around and go look for it? Okay, a few of you have forgetful memories like myself. They forget to do something, all right? Going down the road one day, a semi's on my side of the road, and I'm scooting over, and there's a ditch and then a road sign, okay? So I'm hitting the road sign with my truck. It crushes my mirror, flies off the thing, and I'm driving down the road frustrated. I'm like, you know, I better turn around and go see if I can get some pieces from that thing and put it back together. So I'm turning around. Now, if I'm going to seek it, I don't drive 60 miles an hour past, oh, not there, keep on going. I know where it took place, so I have to stop, get out, and look for it to be able to find it. What's the point of all that? There has to be intentionality in your prayer life to be able to stop what you're doing, to be before the Lord, to ask Him, to seek from Him, and to knock and be intentional in choosing to do so. It means a plan that you have to do it. Well, Jesus actually instructs us how we do this. Look back at chapter 6 with me there in the Gospel of Matthew. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. I think Jesus is teaching us a plan by which we can be able to set aside some time to be able to pray. Now, I know how the new year works for all of us. It's a way we evaluate. We think about what we did good last year. We think about ways that we can set some new priorities and some new goals. And one of those, I'm sure, may be, I want to pray more. I want to read the Bible more. Well, if you just have that ambiguous goal and you don't have a specific plan, you're going to feel frustrated and you're going to get discouraged because you're not accomplishing something. You got to have some specific steps, some specific plans, maybe a time, maybe a day, maybe even a place. Well, Jesus actually encourages us to have a place here as He's using it. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand, pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Notice what Jesus says here. Now the context here is the Pharisees were just praying so people can be seen. Doesn't mean that we can't pray in public. That's not His whole point. His point is that we need to be finding a place that we're praying that we genuinely want. The only person who we really care about hearing us is God. So even like when we pray together on Wednesday nights, it's not that I don't want people not to hear me, but my intention is I want God to hear me. I'm not praying so that John can hear me or David can hear me. I'm praying because I want God to hear me. I'm not worried about impressing people. But what Jesus is saying is, go to a place, find a place, close a door, and get before the Lord. Now, when I was in college, my roommates and I, we had this very old apartment. And the blessing of a very old apartment, that was before they tried to be efficient with downsizing so they get more people. So we had this huge apartment. And my closet was big enough that I could have clothes on one side and a desk on the other side. It was like a small bedroom in and of itself. But it became like my closet. It became my place that I would literally, because I had some rambunctious, loud roommate believers, but they were just loud. And I literally, I had this cloth that I hung over the door because it was a louver door. And they knew, when I closed that door, don't bother me. Leave me alone. It's a place to study, but it's also a place where I just grew to love just being alone with the Lord. Now, I don't have that closet now, but what I do have is an early morning spot, end of my couch, under the lamp, with my coffee, early in the morning as the sun is coming up, and that is my spot that I go to where I commune with the Lord. I want to encourage you that if you don't have like a routine spot, a routine place, find a place. If you have to go in your truck and close the door so no one will bother you, go somewhere. Find a place. Be intentional about it. If you sit here this morning and say, okay, Pastor, I get it, I'll do that later. No, I'm talking about make a plan. If you want to be serious about praying with the Lord, find a spot, get there, and be able to pray. Now, I want to encourage you too, is in being intentional, you have to pray specifically as well. Look at the text again. Jesus is implying that there are specific things that are being prayed for. Look at verse 9, or verse 8 there. When Jesus is saying, everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks it will be opened. Notice here in verse 9, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Now Jesus is using an illustration here to teach about his goodness compared to our wickedness, but he talks about specifics. He says, if your son asks for something specific, are you going to give him something different? Now what does that mean? Oftentimes, I think as Christians, we pray such generic prayers that we're not praying specifically and expecting God to answer. For example, God, I want you to save all the lost people in the world. Okay, that's a great prayer. But how about praying specifically for people? I've talked to many of you, and y'all have heard me say, I have a prayer notebook that I use every morning. Excuse me, son. This is my prayer. This is my second one. I wore out the other one that I had. This is my prayer book. And you can look in this, and on Monday, y'all know about my Monday list. Y'all heard about my Monday list, right? Some saying yep, some saying no. My Monday list is I pray for lost people. I have 41 people that's on my list on Monday that I pray for. Two of them are coming off in 2016 because they came to faith in 2015. And as I meet people, I build relationships with coaches that I've coached with. If they're listening online, praise God, I'm praying for you. They're here. I pray for them. I build relationships with them. But I'm praying specifically. So Monday morning, I'll just say, God, I want you to pray. I want you to save lost people. I'm praying specifically. I'm claiming the truth of God's word that says if one sows a seed, one waters, and God gives the increase. I'm praying for God to do that. And I'm intentional about that. On Tuesday, the people who got saved for Monday, go on Tuesday. And I pray for the growth. On Wednesday, I pray for our ministries. Thursday, I pray for our deacons. Friday, I pray for missionaries and pray for extended family members. And Saturday, I'm praying for today. And Sunday, I'm praying for my sermon. I do pray for my sermon all week long, by the way. What's the point? My point was, I used to be ambiguous. I used to be generic. And then I began to pray specifically like this. You know what's rewarding? Is when I get to go back through my other prayer books and see what God has done to answer specific things. And then I rejoice in that. I say, man, you saved that person. I prayed for that person for how many years? And then God brought it about to pray for them. Now, some of you I know may say, and I've had this conversation, listen, why should I pray intentionally if God already knows what I'm going to ask for? He knows it. Don't you know that? Sure he does. Look back at chapter 6. After Jesus told us to go in that prayer closet and have a way to be able to pray and being intentional. Notice in verse 7 and verse 8, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before You ask Him. So some may be saying, well, why should I pray then if He knows that I need to ask, if I'm going to ask it? Well, what does Jesus say then at the very next verse in verse 9? Pray then like this. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? God knows what you're going to need to ask, but you still need to ask for it. Listen, church, I want you to get this. It's hard to wrap our minds around this truth. God knows what I need before I ask it. But He chooses to use prayer as a means to bring about what I need. You figure that out. It is a supernatural truth that is there. God uses prayer as a means to bring about His will. So if He just gave us all this stuff and we never asked for it, you know what's going to happen? Guess who we're going to start depending upon? Me, myself, and I. It is a way by which we're dependent upon the Lord because we trust that He's the one to bring that about. So my encouragement to you is this. Pray for people. Pray specifically for people. Pray specifically for healing. Pray specifically for a job situation. Whatever it may be, lay it before the Lord and be intentional with it. Don't just simply say, well, I think I'll do that tomorrow. I think I'll do that next week. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get to 2017 and you have no plan whatsoever. My encouragement to you is this. I promise you that if you will be specific in your praying and you will be intentional in your praying, yes, it takes work, but anything that's worthwhile takes work and effort to set time aside. Practically, when I'm sitting there, I don't listen to the bing on my phone or the email blip or the text message, and yes, I get them even early in the mornings because it's in that moment that I am praying with God. I used to love what Billy Graham used to say. He would tell his secretary, he said, if the president calls for me, don't bother me. Even the president of the United States, yes, because God's more important than him. Be intentional. Do you want to see God do something in your life, in your marriage, in your family? Then write it down specifically and say, God, I want my marriage to grow before You. God, I want to be a godly wife. God, I want to be a godly husband. God, I want to be a better dad. God, help me to be more patient. God, help me to be more kind. God, help me to have boldness. Whatever it is, list it before the Lord and give it to Him and ask Him to do it and watch Him work. We have to believe that He is a supernatural God that can do supernatural things. Your prayer life is your strategy. You've got to have a plan. It's your strategy. Anybody seen the movie that came out last year, War Room? Okay, I told you earlier not to speak. You can now participate, all right? You read the book. Okay. War Room is about a great movie where a godly lady influences a young Christian life who just kind of had this ambiguous, generous praying and challenges her to say that your prayer life specific is your plan. She takes out her closet, cleans out her clothes. It becomes her war room. It's her place where she begins to intercede before God for her marriage, to see God move. Now listen, sometimes God moves instantly. Sometimes it takes time. But it shouldn't discourage us in our intentionality in our life of praying before God. Listen to me. I want you to understand something. You and I are at war. We're in a spiritual battle, whether you realize it or not. Satan is alive and well, and he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And the weaponry that we have is praying, asking God to move. Listen, there is movement of God even when you and I cannot see it. So if you're praying for your children, you've been praying for years, don't give up. Continue to be intentional to pray for them. Continue to be intentional to pray for God to do great things. He's working. Trust that He is working. The second truth I want you to see is not just praying intentionally. I want you to see that you need to pray with expectation. Look at the text again in verse 7. Ask and what? It might be given to you. It will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Who's speaking here? This is not just a Pharisee talking about prayer. This is not just a disciple talking about prayer. This is Jesus talking to us about prayer. That there should be expectation in our heart. If I'm asking God and I'm seeking God and I'm knocking to God, I should pray expectantly that God can answer that. It changes the way you pray. If I'm praying for someone to lose, I'm not sure, God, if You're going to save that person. God, I'm not sure you can save my marriage. God, I'm not sure. No, pray expectingly. God, I'm coming to you not out of my own ability, but because you are capable and you are God. You are the rock that we just sang about. You are the one who can move mountains. You are the one who can take a king's heart, as hard as stone, and you can make it of heart of flesh. You, oh God, you're the one who can make it possible. You've got to pray and believe that. You know what drives my praying and my belief more than anything else? Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more than we can ask or think, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. So when I'm praying, listen to me. As I'm praying for things, it's not because God is not capable or able. He's always capable. And He's always able. And so if I'm praying, believing. Now listen to me. My expectation in praying doesn't get rated by my volume. God, I know you can hear me. Well, He hears a deaf person and a mute person too. It's the expectation of my faith. My faith. Believing that God is able to do it. So does my faith get rocked when I'm praying for something and it doesn't happen? No. I'm still praying expectantly for God to be God and Him to do it. But I know that prayer is the means, according to this text and according to Matthew 6, for Him to bring things about. So I pray all the time for God to move in your lives and move in this church. Why? Because I believe what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. What did He say? Upon this rock, I will build my church. So I know that God's desire, as Jesus said, is for His church to grow, for His church to be healthy, for His church to impact people's lives. So I'm praying, God, grow our church. Help us to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when I pray for our compassion ministry, I'm saying, God, may You use that ministry to till up hard soil, build relationships so the gospel can be planted and the gospel can be watered, and God, bring about a harvest. I pray believing those things. Why? Jesus says, ask, it's going to be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. I want you to think about this with me. Could it be possible that things aren't given, and things aren't found, and the doors aren't open because we're not praying with the faith to believe it? Yes. Trusting and believing that God can bring it about. Praying expectantly. So if you've lost heart this past year, in 2015, for someone that you're praying for, or some situation, or something, I'm here to fan the flame for you, to throw out the doubt of the enemy, to instill faith back in you, to say, pray believing, because God hasn't changed. And He's capable to do it. You say, Pastor, you don't know the situation. You're right, but I know God. And I know that He's capable. So this morning, it might be that you say, God, forgive me for being doubtful. Forgive me for not believing. And God, I pray today, I reclaim that truth in Jesus' name, and I pray expectantly for You to do something there. You've got to have that type of faith, be able to believe what you're praying for. Now, thirdly, I want you to understand something that Jesus teaches us, is we have to pray with persistence as well. Look at the text again. Ask, seek, and knock. Now, first of all, I want you to understand something, that the word ask, seek, and knock are actually in the imperative voice in the Greek, which means it's actually a command of Jesus. Did you get that sink in? It's a command that He's telling us, meaning you need to be asking, you need to be seeking, you need to be knocking. But it's also in the particular tense in the Greek, in the present tense, which means that we should be asking over again, asking over and over again, and knocking over and over again. You say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 6 that we shouldn't be, in verse 7, that we shouldn't be offering up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. It's one thing to just be babbling. It's another thing to be expressing a genuineness of your heart over and over again. Listen to me, I want you to think about what I'm about to say. Because I'm persistently praying for something doesn't mean that I doubt that God heard me. It means that I am depending upon Him to bring about what I'm asking for. Did you hear what I said? Your repetition in your praying doesn't mean that you're doubting that God heard you, but you're coming over and over again because you know He's the only help that you have, and He's the only hope that brings it about. Listen, persistence in praying needs to be understood because you and I have a spiritual war that's going on that you and I can't comprehend or see. Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prayed for 3 weeks for an answer. And the angel Gabriel finally came to him. And he says to him, Daniel, because of your praying, God has heard your prayer. But I had to fight the prince of Persia, which means he wasn't talking about a literal person. He's talking about a spiritual prince, a spiritual angel, demonic being. And he says, I had to even have Michael come and help me to bring this answer to you. That's the angel Gabriel and the angel Michael and the prophet Daniel. Now, if Daniel would have not persisted, it's possible that prayer wouldn't have gotten to him. But he did not give up. And although he couldn't see what was going on, there was war that was taking place. If you don't believe that there is spiritual war for people who are lost that you're praying for, you are deceived. Think about it for your own self if you're a believer. Think about the traps and the lies that Satan kept putting in your mind before you became a believer and before you surrendered. Do you not think that Satan is one throwing all that stuff at you? Yeah. So it's important that you don't give up. You pray over and over and over again for something. Put it before the Lord every day if you need to. Cry out your heart to God. It doesn't mean that you're saying, God, I don't think you can do this. I'm saying, God, I know that you can. It's almost like you say, it's me again, Lord. And here's this need. So certainly pray intentionally. You've got to have an intentional plan on what you're going to do to pray. You've got to do that. You've got to pray with persistence. You've got to pray with expectation. Listen to me. It's all tied together. Even though I'm praying persistently, you say, how long are you going to pray for that? For some of these people, I prayed for several years. But am I going to give up praying for them? You better believe I am not. I'm going to keep praying for them because you know what? As I look across this audience, there are many of you sitting in this room that were on my Monday list. That's right. When I met you, I began to pray for you. And one by one, began to see some of those people come to faith in Christ, see them profess faith in Christ, see them make a public testimony from baptism. Woo-hoo! Man, that's good. When I get to mark that line through on that Monday list, that's an excitement for me to mark through that list. And then get to add them on Tuesday. Then to begin to pray that God will grow them. And see them become good men and women in faith in Christ. Pray with persistence. The fourth thing I want you to see in this text this morning is to pray with trust. What do I mean by that? Look at this text again. Notice what Jesus is saying to us in regards to praying. He makes a comparison. How many of you would readily admit that even though you have a good heart, that it were not always good all the time? Are y'all alive this morning? Now, we may have graciousness and generosity at times, but let's just admit, there are times that we're just fleshly. Would we like to play the video camera back over our lives this past week? The times that we want to give, there's other times that we say, they don't deserve that. I'm not giving them that. Why would I be kind to that person? They treated me wrongly. Ain't no way I'm going to do that. Why should I tip that person? They didn't even come to my table 3 or 4 times. I had to raise my hand. I'm not going to tip that person. Now, I know you've thought those things. But here's the thing. Jesus is making a comparison between us. Even though that we're evil, sometimes we want to give good things. He compares us to God. He says He's not evil at all. And how much more if we who are evil can give good things to a God who's pure and true and right give good things? Look at the text. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So the comparison is this. You've got an evil person in your heart. You say, I'm not evil. I'm going to tell you there is no one righteous, no, not one. Period. We're lost and we're saved and have the righteousness of God in our life. But there's none of us who are good in and of ourselves. The good that's in us is because God puts it within us. But here's this thing. He's saying we must, if we're praying, we must trust that God who is good will be far greater than an earthly person who can give good things. Why? He says, if your son asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? Now that may not seem to make much sense to us. But it made perfect sense to the audience in whom he was writing. Because the bread actually was in the same shape and look as a stone. And so the point is this, if I'm praying and if your son asks for a piece of bread, are you going to give him a stone to deceive him, to make him think that you've actually given him what he asked for? If you're looking at it from a distance, he may be deceived. Oh, Dad gave me a piece of bread, but in actuality, it's a stone. The next one he says, if you ask for a fish, you're going to give him a serpent. It's actually the same type of shape. One is poisonous and one is healthy. But from a distance, it could look the same. Again, his point is this. If you who are evil, are you going to be deceptively deceiving to be able to try to trick the person, your child who's asking for something, just to make them think that they've got what they asked for? God is saying, look, Jesus is saying, look, God is a good father. If you're asking for something, why would he try to deceive you to give you something almost exactly what you asked for just to appease you, to make you think you got what you asked for? So if I'm praying, I'm going to trust. If I'm asking for something, and I'm asking for God to bring this about, I'm trusting that he can bring that about. That he's good to be able to do it. Now, the second aspect of trusting is this. I trust in my praying that God is a good father, and he can give it to me if he thinks it's best. Look at the text again. The key is there in the last part of that verse. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Good things. Let's put it in context. How many of you asked for something in your life that you thought would be good for you? Lord, I want a new car. It's going to be good for me. I can ride smooth. I won't have to take it to the shop. Now, how do you know it's not going to be a lemon? Hello, my parents bought a lemon car. In all reality, actually got defined as a lemon car. It was in the shop more than it was on the road. We all think about different things. Now, I know some of you got new cars, and I'm not trying to make fun of your new cars. That's great. I'm glad you got your new car. But some of us say, hey, I need some new clothes, or I need this, or I need a new house. It's going to be good for me. It's going to make me look better. It's going to make me feel better. I got better attitude, better pride, whatever, yada, yada, yada. We think it's good for us, but in reality, though, if I'm praying and asking God for something, if it doesn't come about, I'm trusting that he's a good father and he knows what's good for me. Because sometimes the things that I think are good for me aren't necessarily good for me. Perfect example. I've been married to Liz now for 17 years. That's right, 17, right? She's counting too right now. Y'all didn't see her face, but she went, okay. So it's not just men who are forgetful. After 17 years, we're all forgetful. Right, there you go. Now listen, if God would have given me the wife of the girls that I was praying for before Liz, thank you, Jesus, that didn't happen. But he knew what was good for me was to have Liz as my wife. And I am very thankful for you, baby. Here's the thing I want you to see. Sometimes we think the things that we pray for are good for us, but they're not good for us. We can't see what danger it may bring. And so here's the thing. Sometimes we get frustrated because it's not coming about. It's where we need to be able to say, yeah, I'm intentional. And yeah, I'm expectant. And yeah, I'm persistent, but in all of those things, in my intentionality and my expectation and my persistence, I'm still trusting that although that I'm asking these things, I'm trusting that he knows what's best. Because I don't have his mind. I have to rest in what Isaiah says, that his ways are above my ways. I have to rest that he knows that even though that I think this is going to be great for the church or great for my family or great for myself, I'm trusting to say, God, and this comes out of my mouth oftentimes, but God, you're a good father. And whatever your will is, If you look back over just at verse 10 of chapter 6, it actually helps you. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Your kingdom come and your will be done. You see, if we can pray through the filter of what He gives us in this prayer there, the very first thing He actually teaches us there is, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Literally it says, "Let your name be hallowed," is what it says there in the Greek text, which means if I put it in context, something I'm praying for and I think it's good, I say, "But Lord, whatever is going to bring you the most glory." Because, be honest with you, sometimes things taken away from my life may actually bring Him more glory than things that are given to me in my life. And so, as we go this week of prayer and we pray over things that are on that prayer list that you're going to get at the end of this service, and praying for our church and praying for your life, and hopefully, prayerfully, will give you a new pattern, a new drive to be able to pray throughout this year, that you can say, "God, I'm praying for your will to be done, and I'm trusting for you to do this." And the last action of prayer I want to give you is this. Certainly we pray with intentionality, and we pray with expectation, and we pray with persistence, and we pray with trust. We also need to pray with patience. Let's just be honest. How many of us want things as soon as we ask it? Many of us do. We have a problem in our society because everything happens quickly now. And so we think God oftentimes should answer it in the exact same way. I order something online that's in California, can it be at my doorstep the very next day? If I want to warm up something, I put it in the microwave, and my food is warm instantly. And we think God has to operate on that exact same timetable and time pattern. It doesn't always work that way. Look at the text again. I want you to think of these three things. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. And knock, and it will be opened to you. Let's talk about those three. If I ask you a question, I have to wait for the answer. If I'm to seek out something, I have to be patient until I find it. And if I knock on the door, I have to wait to see if it gets opened. I can't knock and force a door open. I can't ask and force the answer. I can't seek and force it to be found. And so in our prayer lives, if we're seeking and we're asking, we're knocking, and I'm persistent, and I'm intentional, and I'm expectant, and I'm trusting that God can do it, in all of that, when I finish praying at 5:30 or 6 or whatever time it is, I have to get up and go take my shower and go on about my day, because I'm patiently waiting for God to work on His timetable. Some of you, I think, may have gotten frustrated with some things that you've prayed about, and you've said, "God, you're not answering me. I'm going to pray about that anymore." If that's you, you need to go back to step one. You need to be intentional to pray about it and trust that He's a good God. You know what sometimes happens? Tie it together. He's a good Father because sometimes He intentionally delays so that we can become more dependent in our praying. Now, we'll give it to you the first time. Why? Because He wants to see if you really are going to trust that He's the God who can bring it about. Could it be that God is waiting on your attitude to change, your mentality to change, before He brings it pass? Now listen to me. Hebrews tells us that we go before the throne boldly, but we don't go arrogantly, pridefully. You can't demand God to do anything. God, you have to do this. I don't see that in any of Jesus' instructions. Ask, seek, and knock. Is it possible that maybe some of the things that you're praying with expectation, that you're praying with intentionality, and you're praying with persistence, and you're praying with trust, is it possible that God won't answer them? Yes. Why? Because He's a good Father. And He knows what will bring Him the most glory. You know, I think specifically of even people in our own church that we've prayed for. We've laid hands and prayed over many people who've had an illness, sickness, and cancer. And we've seen God heal them. But we've also laid hands on people and prayed for them with much expectation and waited patiently, and God chose not to heal them. Why? It's in those moments where I have to, as a pastor, just say, Lord, whatever is going to accomplish your will the most. And we rest in His goodness. That's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to trust when it's something that you want so bad and that you think is the best. How many of us have bargained with God? God, are you sure you know what you're doing? Because we're not seeing the steps take place that should be taking place. I believe that all of us in this room this morning, from this one text, probably have some evaluating that we probably need to do in our own prayer life. I just want to ask you those very questions. Do you have an intentional plan? If you're frustrated that nothing's happening, I ask you the question, well, are you having a plan to ask for it to come about? He wants to give good things. Do you think about that in the text? How much more so your Father who is in heaven wants to give good things. Think about it, church. God wants to give good things. But could it be that He's not going to give it because we're not asking, we're not seeking, and we're not knocking? Yes. So I want to encourage you this morning, as we enter our commitment time in just a moment, how intentional have you been in 2015? How persistent have you been? How expectant have you been? How trusting have you been? And how patient have you been? So this morning we're going to do our commitment time just a little bit different. I want to ask the praise team to come, and they're going to begin to play. But before we just sing a song, I think we need to stop and be still before the Lord. So I'm going to ask you right now, where you are, just to bow your head and enter into a time between just you and the Lord. Search your heart to even see about your own prayer life, to see if it's been as Jesus has taught us in this particular text. Maybe you have been ambiguous in your praying, maybe not praying specifically, or maybe you've just been putting it off and thinking about different ways that you could pray. But maybe today's a day where you say, Lord, I long to grow in my communion with you through praying. You may be doing it good individually, but maybe you're doing a poor job as a family. Think about what you need to do. And as you search your heart and you say maybe that you're here this morning and maybe you've lost the expectation because things haven't happened as quick as you wanted them to be. And maybe this morning it needs to be a rekindling in your own faith to say, God, forgive me for my doubt. And I lay it before you again. And maybe that you yourself have just given up. You've not been persistent. Maybe today's the day where you restart that and you say, God, I'm claiming it again. And I'm trusting that you're a good Father. And I'm going to be patient to wait. I'm going to ask you musicians just to begin to play as every head's bowed. Please, no one looking around. If we really want this week, this year, to touch into the powers of God, it starts in prayer. Search your hearts, the deepest part of your core. What can you do different? As a man, woman, boy, girl, husband, father, grandparent. Father, you hear the prayers of your people even now as they evaluate their own hearts, their walks with you, and their prayer lives. God, I pray that whatever commitments individuals are making even now, that you, by your Spirit, would empower them. God, we're asking for your aid, your help, to be a praying people. Lord, we know, we believe that you are a God who is capable and able to do great things. So, Lord, I pray that you refresh your people this morning. Renew a prayer drive in their lives to be intentional, to be persistent, to be expectant, to be trusting, and to be patient. Lord, we love you, we worship you, we give you much thanks. In Christ's name we pray. We're going to stand and sing this song as a commitment to Be Thou My Vision. We want God to be the vision of our heart as we make this commitment of entering prayer through this year. If you have a prayer need that you want Pastor Jared or I to be able to pray over, you're welcome to come. But let's sing this as a prayer to the Lord this morning.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5689.